KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month, starting at 8 a.m., for the Gorman Law Hour, featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour, starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Arturo Fuente, Chateau Maduro. Handmade in the Dominican Republic with a dark Connecticut broadleaf wrapper, giving us a rich, medium-bodied cigar with pleasant notes of coffee, vanilla, and sweet spiciness. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Jason in the House.
Well, welcome to the Jason in the House podcast. Appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us. Oh, you're going to love this because I had a chance to spend some time with Lee Zeldin, the EPA administrator. Now, I served in Congress with Lee Zeldin, so I got to know him really, really well there. He's just a fabulous guy, wonderful, beautiful family. And he's, hit the ground running there, joining the Trump administration, being part of his cabinet. And it's exciting what he's doing and how he's doing it. And the waste, the fraud, the abuse that he's rooting out, the issues that they're having to tackle. We're going to talk, I hope to bring up a little bit about his golf prowess. You may not know this about Lee Zeldin. Well, I'll let it play out when I call, we get on the phone with him. We happen to be together in Utah. Unfortunately, we had the funeral of Mia Love. Mia Love was served in Congress. She passed away at way too early of an age, at age 49, having to battle brain cancer. And it was sad, hard, but it was a celebration of life. And there were some other events and things happening in Utah, and it was really good that Lee Zeldin was able to make it, as well as Sean Duffy, the transportation secretary. The three of us all served in Congress same time. And when you do that, and you're away from your family and your loved ones, and in our cases, we all had spouses, you end up having a lot of dinners together, seeing each other on the floor. And Lee Zeldin is just a great guy, the administrator. So, but first, let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the news. Obviously, there's some high-profile things that just bombard us every day. But there's some other things that kind of slipped through the cracks a little bit. I just want you to be aware of that. I just can't believe this. Colonel Susanna Mayers, if I'm pronouncing her name right, this is the commander at the U.S. Space Force base in Greenland. And she made some comments about Vice President J.D. Vance, and now she's been, fired, dismissed, whatever is the proper terminology. She is no longer the commander, and it is amazing to me that somebody so high-ranking in the military can make such, in my opinion, such stupid comments. I'm assuming they're true. I'm reading on FoxNews.com. But for her to make the comments that she did about J.D. Vance, it's just unbelievable. First, a little bit about Space Force. And I got to be a little bit careful here. But one of the brilliant things, one of the most important things that Donald Trump did in his first term, he doesn't get enough credit for, was the creation of the Space Force. Now, some people say, well, wait, why do we do that? I've talked about this a little bit on previous podcasts, but there is, in my estimation, essentially a war going on in space. And you don't see it. You don't hear it. There aren't people to click selfies. There's nobody, driving along the street that can capture this on their phone. It's happening, though. It's out there. It's in space. It's out of view. You can't hear it. You can't see it. But those who do see and hear these things, I think, have briefed the president numerous times, countless times, and he did the bold thing, the right thing, and that is adding the Space Force to our military arsenal. Because the safety security of space is vital to the economic and physical safety of the United States of America in all aspects. What would life be like without satellite communications? You wouldn't have telephone communications. You wouldn't have GPS. You wouldn't be able to do a whole lot of things. And there are those that do want to dominate the world, that do want to create chaos, that do want to have leverage over the United States. And you can think of the typical actors, right? You can think of China, you can think of Russia, and there are a few others that also have vested interests. Now, a lot of countries want to launch satellites and do things because it's in their best interest to be self-sufficient in doing so. The reality is the United States of America is by far, it's not even close, the best country in the world to in terms of its talent. Well, who is perhaps probably the leading person in all that? It's Elon Musk. Remember, in a brief history here, when the shuttle program was coming to a conclusion, President Obama was fine letting that go. The strategy and the plan from the Obama administration was to communicate with the Russians and have the Russians be able to propel us into space, the International Space Station, to service satellites and things like that. That doesn't sound like a good, smart idea. It was a terrible idea. It created the opportunity, really, for SpaceX to thrive because we needed our own ability to get out in space and do things. And Elon Musk seized that opportunity, created the best company in the world in SpaceX to be able to not only get people, but get technology up into space and then be able to leverage that for the safety and security and the communication of the United States of America. Think of Starlink, for instance, things like that. So you have to have a space force. Now, one of the bigger, if not the biggest, I don't know, I haven't looked at it, space force bases is in Greenland. There are a lot of strategic reasons why it's important to be in Greenland. I happen to think, I'm just guessing, okay? I don't have all the pieces of the puzzle here. I haven't been in Congress in a few years. But I read at one point that, you know, there were comments that we need more safety and security in Greenland for our Space Force and for the, you know, for Greenland as a whole. And somebody announced that they were going to add two new dog sled teams. Now, maybe that was just a farce. Maybe somebody was mocking. But my guess is there was some truth to that, and that was kind of offensive. Anyway, let's fast forward here. Vice President J.D. Vance recently visited the headquarters. And after the vice president's visit, there was an email to base personnel, and this happened on March 31st. And this is a quote, evidently, from the email from the commander. "I do not presume to understand current politics, but what I do know is the concerns of the U.S. administration discussed by Vice President Vance on Friday are not reflective of Patuvik Space Base." I don't think I pronounced that name right, but the space base. Are you kidding me? The Vice President of the United States comes in and he's informing people there and expressing concerns and the position of the administration, and she has the gall to be able to say are not reflective of the space base. She went on, quote, "Spent this weekend thinking about Friday's visit, the actions taken, the words spoken, and how much it must have affected each of you." The Space Force issued a public statement. They said that due to the loss of confidence in her ability to lead, and it is just, I just can't believe that she would take it upon herself to distance herself and diminish the words of the Vice President of the United States. Chain of command matters in the military. And for her to do this, I'm glad that it was just unbelievable to me that she would have the gall to do that on any level, let alone in her position as a commander. But, you know, she can contemplate that through the rest of her life because she has been relieved of her duties, thank goodness. And that's a good thing. Other things happen in the news, but you know what? Let's just go get to the stupid because it's so good. There's just so many stupid things happening. There's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere. All right, in no particular order, statnews.com. Now, this is quite the story, okay? For those of you old enough, and if you're not old enough, go figure them out. The Four Tops is one of the greatest. I mean, Four Tops have so many hits, hits that live in your head. I can't sing, or I would sing them for you, but I cannot. Alexander Morris, 53 years old, evidently, had to go to the hospital in Warren, Michigan on June 10th. I presume that's last year. And according to NBC, the lead singer was having some issues with cardiac distress. His personal medical issue, not the story. It looks like it may have been back in 2023. And he expressed some concerns that the staff about, you know, stalkers, fans, maybe photos getting out. Look, he's an artist, right? He's concerned about people taking pictures or showing up or doing something stupid. Well, they didn't quite believe him, and evidently he was physically restrained, he said, for an hour and a half. In the middle of a medical emergency, they had to put him essentially in a straitjacket, is the allegation. I don't know if it's true, but that's the allegation. The suit is seeking $75,000 in damages, which seems pretty modest compared to some of these multi-million dollar things for having, you know, coffee fall on you. But he alleges negligence, racial discrimination, battery. Well, this was all put to the end when he actually pulled up a video of him performing at the Grammys, and they kind of said, whoops. Here's what I think is amazing about this. He was offered a $25 gift card at Meijer grocery store as an apology, which he refused. $25. Oh, sorry, sir. How about a $25 grocery store gift card? That didn't work. All right, on to the second one. This is unbelievable to me, but NBCNews.com, a Missouri foster mom is being investigated after potentially trading her foster child. She's a foster child. The allegation is she traded it for a monkey. She was arrested on 3 felony counts of neglect, child abuse, and child endangerment stemming from initial allegations of a missing child who was later located in Texas. Authorities found a handful of monkeys at her home. Oh my gosh, this is one of the stupidest. I hope they prosecute this person. If it's true, it's an allegation. We don't know it's true. Oh my gosh, how nuts would somebody have to be to trade a foster child for a monkey? And who would be on the other end of that transaction? There's another person that should also be involved and engaged in whatever, you know, law enforcement is doing. All right, and last one. This comes from the UPI. A Nevada man was arrested after our authorities seized 7 tigers from his home. The man claims they were emotional support animals. Surprised he didn't try to bring them on an airplane, which a lot of airplanes would probably allow him to do. But 7 tigers hanging out in his home. It's amazing the guy was alive. And can you imagine law enforcement that has to go in there and say, "All right, all right, fellas, ladies, here's what we're gonna do. We got this home. We think there are 7 tigers in there. We're going to need to capture them and take them out of this." Come on, people. We don't need to be so stupid.
More Jason in the House next.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
I had the worst dream last night. You were in a car crash and the kids and I were on our own. We had to move out of the house because I couldn't afford it anymore.
That's awful, huh?
My brother got life insurance from Ethos and it only took 10 minutes. And he got $2 million in coverage for around $2 a day. It's all online. No medical exam. He just answered a few health questions right from his house.
Ethos, here we come.
Visit ethos.com/news. That's ethos.com/news.
Sample rate is a 10-year term life policy for 35-year-old healthy, non-smoking male. Billed monthly.
Seems everything costs more these days. Gas, groceries, and when's the last time you checked your wireless bill? When it comes to Big Wireless, if you're staying, you may be overpaying. Switch to Consumer Cellular and get your second month free for a limited time. You'll get the same fast, reliable nationwide coverage without the Big Wireless bill. Plans start at just $20 a month. Here's Veronica and Jackie, real customers.
I didn't know that I could get something for a lot less money that was actually better than who I was with before.
Anytime anybody complains about their cell phone bill, we say, you've got to check out Consumer Cellular.
And now for a limited time, new customers can get their second month free when they use promo code SECONDFREE. Just call, click, or bring us your bill and see how much you can save. Because when it comes to Big Wireless, if you're staying, you may be overpaying. Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit a store near you, or consumercellular.com and use code SECONDFREE to get a free second month. Real people paid to share their opinions in this ad. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Barack Obama ran an almost flawless campaign in 2008, concluding with his election as the 44th president and the first African-American to lead the United States. In early 2008, he spoke to supporters in Chicago.
The challenges we face will not be solved with one meeting in one night. It will not be resolved on even a super-duper Tuesday. Change will not come if we wait for some other person or if we wait for some other time. We are the ones we've been waiting for. We are the change that we seek.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. An Ohio substitute teacher was busted for allegedly offering a high school student $2,000 to kill her estranged husband in a bizarre murder-for-hire plot that was foiled by the teen's mother. 44-year-old Stephanie Demetrius was arrested last week on first-degree conspiracy charges after the student's mom found texts between her son and the sub. Police say Demetrius approached the student at school in Columbus on March 26th and offered him the cash to kill her soon-to-be ex-husband, giving the teenager $250 as a down payment. A phone call was recorded where Demetrius confirmed the remainder of the payment. Demetrius was in the process of divorcing her husband, who she married in 2004, and let the teenager know when he would be working from home and when her four kids would be out of the house. A prosecutor in the case says Demetrius had previously threatened her husband, and he got an order of protection against her. She's being held on $150,000 bond. There's more on this story at FoxNews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
Hey.
This is House Call for Health. Clearing your throat is pretty common, but if you do it too much, it could cause problems. Laryngologist Dr. Inna Hussain recently talked with Fox News Digital.
So when you're actually throat clearing, the mechanism of action that's happening is that you are slamming your vocal folds together, and that generates the sound of the clear and the kind of movement of things like mucus. So the problem with that is those same vocal cords are used to help you create sound. So if you keep slamming them, you could injure the surface area of the vocal cords, causing things like lesions to form, nodules. You know, you can bruise your vocal cords, cause hemorrhages, and essentially that would affect your voice.
She says there are a few alternatives.
Feel a tickle. I'm going to try to swallow. I'm going to try to hum. I'm going to try to blow out air. I'm going to try to take a sip of water instead of doing that throat clear. And over time, that helps the larynx kind of reset itself.
For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
It's Jason in the house.
All right, now it's time to bring on our special guest, because Lee Zeldin is just doing amazing things. I'm proud to call him a good friend and really look forward. I have some questions, so let's get Lee Zeldin on the line. Well, Lee Zeldin, the administrator, EPA, thanks for joining us today on the Jason in the House podcast. Do appreciate it.
Really great to be with you, Jason.
You know, there used to be a time where I'd get to see you like every day. And haven't seen you in a little while, but boy, have we seen you in the headlines. You're doing an amazing job.
No, I really appreciate that. And that's really, I think, what the American public has demanded when they voted on November 5th. The Trump mandate isn't to pace ourselves out for 4 years. It's to do as much as we can, as quickly as we can. And at the EPA, that's operational. That's policy. It's about making sure we're more efficient with tax dollars, that we are rolling back a horrible regulations that have been put in place that chose to strangulate the economy instead of protect the environment. We can do a lot at once, and we want to fix everything.
Well, with the pace, the velocity, the breadth of what each of the secretaries are doing is just, I mean, it's pretty stunning. It's just an attitude and an approach, and the contrast from Joe Biden to Donald Trump. I mean, it was a sloth's pace, if that, with Joe Biden. And with Donald Trump, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's locked in. You know, it's one thing to have the experience of 4 years already under your belt. It's another thing to then add four more years of reflecting on those 4 years.
Right.
Plus, you add a couple assassination attempts on top of it. I mean, he's locked in. And this wasn't a close election. It wasn't one of those elections where you win the Electoral College, you don't win the popular vote. He swept the battlegrounds. He won big, including the popular vote. And the American public spoke loudly and clearly. Sometimes there's an election where people are just coming out to vote against something.
Right.
But a mandate is earned when you're out there campaigning on what you would do if you're elected. President Trump said during the campaign what his priorities were, and that's what the American public voted for.
Yeah, it's amazing. Tell us a little bit about, I mean, look, you had a good working relationship with the president that dates back to that first term. But, I mean, he had to be impressed with your run for governor in New York. I mean, his heart in large part is in New York. And by all accounts, you exceeded every expectation and got very close to actually pulling it off. Tell us about those interactions with President Trump and how ultimately it kind of led to him saying, hey, come do some work with us.
President Trump is somebody who's been supportive of my campaigns going back to my first win for Congress in 2014. He was actually a very big part of my Republican primary victory that year. He was our highest profile backer, and he wasn't engaged as a candidate for public office. He wasn't yet running for president. He was the host of The Apprentice. He was a businessman. He was a New Yorker who was concerned about the direction of the state and country, so he got involved in that race and again, played a really big role in us being able to have the win that we did. When President Trump was in office for those 4 years, it was an honor to be in that foxhole alongside him. And he was taking incoming all day, every day. And I saw this commitment to the job, this ability to stay focused. You know, he wasn't hiding in his bed until 10:30 in the morning and then going back at, you know, 4 in the afternoon because he just couldn't handle the pressure. You know, there was a lot of really great things that were happening. I remember just before COVID hit, the economy was ripping, the strongest I ever remember in my lifetime. The border was becoming more secure. He was keeping commitments both here at home and abroad. You know, COVID hit, it changed a lot for the world. And then the president went through these 4 years where he was able to reflect on that first term. I had a chance to interact with him over the course of the last few years, and you could tell that he was ready to come back and do a job that will far surpass whatever the best of his first term. And, you know, it's great to be part of it. I want to help him achieve it. When he talks about the golden age for all America, that's an exciting idea rather than picking winners and losers. President Trump really wants to set this entire country ahead, and I'm here for it.
You're listening to Jason in the House. We'll be back with more of my conversation with Administrator Lee Zeldin right after this.
A cancer diagnosis is overwhelming, but at Valor Oncology, you're never alone. I'm Dr. Lauren Strickland, and I'm proud to be a part of this community right here in Reading. As a breast oncology surgeon, I bring the expertise you need combined with deep commitment to the people I care about, my neighbors, my friends, and my community. You won't see a revolving door of different doctors. At Valor Oncology, you'll see the same trusted care team at every visit, people who truly know your history and who will walk with you on your journey. We have cutting-edge technology that rivals top universities, and we're here to provide world-class treatment right here at home. Because at Valor Oncology, you're not just a patient, you're part of our family. Call 530-900-4000 or visit valor.org to schedule a consultation. Valor Oncology, rooted and ready, focused on you. Call 530-900-4000 or visit valor.org today to learn more.
Experience Glowing Wild, an illuminated wildlife lantern festival at the Sundial Bridge and Turtle Bay Exploration Park in Redding, California. Open select nights April 4th through June 8th, 7 to 10 p.m. Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with Asian lanterns inspired by plants and animals from around the world. Plus food, drinks, live performances on select nights, and much more. Don't miss Turtle Bay's Glowing Wild Lantern Festival at the Sundial Bridge. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hey, it's your liberty-loving Latino amigo, Rich Valdez, host of America at Night. Weeknights, we're letting you know what's happening live all across America. We'll have newsmakers and experts coming on, talking about the hot topics of the day. Plus, in our third hour, whatever you want to talk about with open phones across America, our nightly town hall. I look forward to hearing from you on the next America at Night with me, Rich Valdez.
Weeknights from 7 to 10 p.m. on KCNR.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air. there.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. 27 years ago, my wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas with the help and under the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, we believe He is the owner and we are simply the managers. Through the years, we have received many offers from major national corporations to buy Shasta Gas, but our commitment has always been to be and remain locally owned and family operated. Our daughter Karen Wehunt and her husband Jason now manage the daily operations of Shasta Gas and Shasta Tanks, a new business we started a few years ago. We now have the third generation of family members working in the business. Sunshine Stevens, our granddaughter, and her husband Adam, and our grandson Jason. Our commitment and motto are still the same. Our customers are warm friends. To support locally owned family operated business, please call Shasta Gas Propane at 530-365-3793. That's 530-365-3793.
In the house.
Tell us about some of the waste, the fraud and abuse. I mean, most recently we'd seen you at the EPA Museum, which, I mean, it's hard to say that with a straight face, that somebody thought, hey, you know what we really need? We really need a museum. Kids will love it. I mean, how often do you call them and say, hey, let's go to Washington, D.C. We'll see the Lincoln Memorial. We'll go visit the Washington Monument and then hit the EPA Museum. I've never heard anybody even mention it.
And it's all in one room for $4 million. If the two of us were in charge of building that museum, maybe we would have done it on a $150,000 budget.
There's no roller coaster for $4 million? I mean,
it's just an emotional roller coaster for people who are struggling with the reality of how this money gets wasted. If you want people to see EPA history, you have all of these museums in D.C. that people actually go to. So why don't you partner with one of these museums and get some corner of the museum that will get more traffic than this museum did, and it won't cost you all this money. It's $4 million to build, $600,000 a year to operate, and almost nobody went to it. It makes no sense. It's somebody's pet project. Who knows who received the $4 million? And it goes to a larger issue that we're facing. EPA's annual budget is about $10 billion, yet in 2024, EPA obligated and spent over $60 billion. It was more money than they knew what to do with. They didn't know how to spend it responsibly. They were deliberately making efforts to reduce oversight. They were rewarding their friends and allies with multi-billion dollar awards to entities that didn't even exist a minute beforehand. And so even though this EPA agency has an operating budget of about $10 billion, I've already canceled approximately $22 billion worth of contracts, and I'm proud of it. And here's the last point. I think it's really important for us to understand going forward that when the left is using terms like climate change and environmental justice, that too many are using it as an excuse to be able to finance their friends. This is my theory. If you're going to spend a dollar on the environment, spend a dollar directly on remediating the environmental issue that needs to be fixed. Don't spend a dollar on some left-wing organization or right-wing organization to tell us that a dollar should get spent on remediating environmental issues. And then the last thing is the idea of all of these extra middlemen. We're finding these grant programs where it goes through middleman after middleman after middleman, and they're each taking their piece of the share for being part of that process. It makes no sense.
Well, the waste that's gone on there, hats off to you. I mean, you haven't even been there for, less than 60 days? And to be able to have that sort of impact in that short amount of time it's pretty, pretty stunning. Because you're right, there are projects, there are places in this country that need fixing, they need help. But these grants that go out, you and I both served in Congress. And maybe, I'm sure you got to be a little careful in your role here, but like I was chairman of the oversight committee. I could never get this data. I could never get this information. We'd ask for it. We'd demand it. We'd even send a subpoena on it. And I've also been critical of the appropriators. I mean, they're supposed to be the ones watching. You know, they justify their existence as their own committee instead of the authorizing committees. You know, instead of having a, you know, former chairman of natural resources, Rob Bishop, looking at you know, how money is expended, they would say, no, the appropriators get to do that. Help me understand Congress's role, because you and I were both there, and it was terribly frustrating. I'm proud of Doge and what you're doing and Elon Musk and all that, but how do we make sure that when Doge kind of comes and goes, that this type of sifting through the reality is just commonplace?
Well, first off, I have to say the partnership that I've had, that EPA has had with the DOGE team has been fantastic. I have no complaints, only praise for Elon and DOGE. And there have been grants identified and canceled through that partnership. With that being said, there's a whole lot of stuff that we've been doing on our own initiative, and the $20 billion that we tracked down, parked in an outside bank, going through 8 pass-through entities, many of them new. That's where that Stacey Abrams-linked NGO got $2 billion in 24 after just 100 in 2023. The director of the fund for the Biden administration gave his last former employer $5 billion, all of that work we've done at our own initiative, but and I only share that because our commitment is something that lasts well beyond any moment in time where Elon has to go back to operating some of these amazing large businesses that he's done such an awesome job building up. So that's certainly a commitment that we continue. Now, as far as Congress goes, there are people like you who are in a position where you're asking important questions to get to the bottom of how appropriated funds are being expended. You're curious, you care, you do your due diligence, you make the requests, you follow up. But what's been wild here isn't the good work, just the good work of a James Comer as chair of the House Oversight Committee. It's the messaging of these Democrats who don't want to ask any questions. They don't want to know of any evidence of anything wrong ever. They don't care what happens to the money once billions of dollars leave government. All they know is it's passing through their friends, and they don't want EPA to have accountability, and they don't want Congress to have the answers. So I think the real scandal in Congress isn't around the questions that are being asked by the responsible members of Congress, and they're going to get answers. They've been getting answers. The real scandal in Congress are the congressional Democrats who have their fingers in their ears and are demanding that we do not say anything about any wrongdoing. They insist that nothing bad is happening, and they don't want to hear otherwise.
More Jason in the House next.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Pay for by government. Did you hear? A recent stash of $10 gold Liberty coins from the 1800s has been found. These gorgeous gold coins are as bright and shiny as the day they were struck in the late 1800s. And less than 200 of these gold coins are available. Coin experts are calling this gold find an incredible opportunity. Call 1-800-806-1641 and you are guaranteed a $10 gold Liberty coin minted by the U.S. Mint in the 1800s. But with extremely limited availability, you must call now. These gold Liberty coins from the 1800s are still in uncirculated condition. That is history you can hold in your hand. To learn more, call 1-800-806-1641. Call now, and you'll receive a free American Coin Collector's Bonus Package, a $40 value, free with every order. Call 1-800-806-1641 now to secure your $10 Gold Liberty coins dated from the 1800s before they sell out. That's 1-800-806-1641.
I had the worst dream last night. You were in a car crash, and the kids and I were on our own. We had to move out of the house because I couldn't afford it anymore.
That's awful, huh?
My brother got life insurance from Ethos, and it only took 10 minutes. And he got $2 million in coverage for around $2 a day. It's all online. No medical exam. He just answered a few health questions right from his house.
Ethos, here we come.
Visit ethos.com/news. That's ethos.com/news.
Sample rate is a 10-year term life policy for 35-year-old healthy, non-smoking male. Billed monthly.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A teenager from Connecticut who was once homeless and is now giving back to his community makes today's Dean's List. Keontre Floyd was recently honored for his generosity in a ceremony in New Haven.
At first, I'm going to thank God for keeping me on the right track and keeping my eyes on the prize.
Keontre was without a home for 8 years when he was just a boy and wanted to help others when he got older. So he donated $2,000 worth of toys to New Reach, a shelter that supported him, his mom, and his younger siblings.
I felt like I did my younger self a favor to go get those kids Christmas gifts, something my younger self would want it. So when I did that, I was doing it out of the act of closing a chapter in my life.
Keontre's family was with him during the ceremony, including his father, Tyrese.
I made a prayer a long time ago that if I had, if I had like one more chance in life, I could correct my wrongs. This is it right here. This is him.
Janice Dean, Fox News.
This is Health Call for Health. Many of us try to follow a heart-healthy diet, but keep in mind there are also foods that enhance eye health. Specialists say a low-fat diet with lots of fruits and vegetables, lean meats, seafood, and plenty of water is especially beneficial to vision. The foods include salmon, which is high in the two types of omega-3 fatty acids that are essential for the function of the retina. Red peppers, which have the highest concentration of vitamin C per calorie among vegetables. Vitamin C is good for the blood vessels in your eyes. Research suggests it could lower your risk of developing cataracts. Eggs have zinc, which works with the pigments found in egg yolk to block harmful blue light from damaging the retinas. And broccoli has antioxidants, which also help to protect the retinas. The American Optometric Association suggests getting an eye exam yearly, even if your vision seems fine, to detect any possible conditions early on. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health from Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Jason in the house.
As we're recording this, they're doing these protests, hands off. And I thought, what a great name for their movement or their latest resistance effort, hands off. Really? You don't want anybody's hands on the steering wheel. I mean, I guess you had that in Joe Biden. And I mean, that was as hands off as you get, right? And look at all the problems we had.
Yeah, and the Democratic Party is going through a big identity problem at the moment. And I believe every cause for change requires a conflict. That's something that's guided army policy through the years, that principle. And that's why the Democrats are trying to identify that cause for change as being all in just going after Elon. But here's the problem. You have to be a viable alternative. And Elon is a person who is right now a part of the government. This Republican majority in Congress, and it's really a strategic decision being made by Democrats that I don't think is going to improve their brand. It's not going to win them an election. They're flailing. They're saying it because they feel like, and this is Lee Zeldin speaking personally, by the way. I'm not speaking as EPA administrator here. My personal opinion is that in order to improve the brand of the party, you have to get back to policies that connect with what Americans say are the most important priorities for them. If you want to improve brand, you should be talking about your ideas to improve the economy and your desire to secure the border. Instead, they're out there leading press conferences calling for the return of an MS-13 gang member to come back to the United States, or, you know, whatever gang member he was, who was an illegal immigrant. What they're saying in their messaging and their rhetoric, I think they're misfiring. They're not aiming correctly. They're not lifting up their own party. And it really just comes down to, I believe, the opportunity that's in front of Republicans in Congress, the opportunity that's in front of the Trump administration to just keep focused on securing our border. To work on trying to get a tax cut bill passed through Congress to tackle wasteful spending and so much more. We're actually out there talking about what our ideas are to address the issues that Americans say are most important to them. And Democrats are not showing a willingness and a strong desire to engage in that battle over ideas. Instead, they just want to go after Elon Musk.
Yeah, no, I think it's very short-sighted. And look, from my personal perspective, these are the same people who were going to mandate that we get rid of gasoline. They didn't want any petroleum products. They were going to go all electric vehicle and put that into the law. All of a sudden, now it's Elon Musk who built, and I have a Tesla. It's just like one of the best cars, zero emissions. And it's just an amazing vehicle, and yet now, because it's associated with Donald Trump and consequently Elon Musk, they're like protesting, doing stupid stuff, and, you know, creating, I believe, acts of terrorism meant to politically intimidate a whole class of people.
And it's wrong, and the average American sees it. The people who are coming out to these protests are not people who voted for President Trump. Right. They're not out there saying that they voted for him in November and now they changed their mind. These are people who they've been against President Trump since the beginning, and they're just looking for a way to mobilize. That's really at the heart of this, is they're just looking for an excuse to agree on something, because there's so much happening at once. There's so much to fix at once. And they all were coming up with their own ideas of the best way in their minds to attack Republicans, to attack the Trump administration. And they weren't falling behind one message, and they decided that the one thing that they can rally behind is setting private property and setting people's Teslas on fire. And that's something that there's a universal acceptance of these people who are out there of what the right tactic is, of how to message against this administration. Let's go burn people's cars to the ground. And by the way, I got to say, as administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency, I'd point out that it happens to be pretty damaging to the environment to be out there setting these electric vehicles on fire. But I don't think that any of these so-called environmentalists who are out there have thought of that irony and hypocrisy as they set these electrical vehicles on fire.
Hey, we got to wrap up here. You've been very generous with your time here, but let's talk about the EPA, where it goes from here, because you've done an amazing job of rooting out the waste, fraud, and abuse, and I think that job will continue well into the future. It's certainly not, hey, we did the first 60 days and we found it all. But on a proactive way, where do you want to go? To the employees and to the public? There's a lot of people in the public, very conservative end of the spectrum, don't even want there to be an EPA. So what can they do? What should they do? Where are you taking this agency moving forward?
There's a lot of really good, important work. We did it following the LA wildfires. President Trump said EPA had 30 days to complete our hazardous material removal, the phase one effort, before Army Corps took over. We had over 13,000 properties to work through. Wow. Not only did we accomplish it within 30 days, we accomplished it in less than 30 days, even though at first a lot of people thought that it was impossible once President Trump's executive order came out. And you traveled to East Palestine, Ohio, Flint, Michigan, Western North Carolina, Lahaina and Maui and elsewhere. And there is that very important role to play when you look going forward, when disaster strikes, to help get safe drinking water back up, to get water systems back up, to remove hazardous material. EPA stands ready and qualified to be able to tackle it. There's a lot of Superfund sites across the country. We do a lot of really important work to clean up these sites that have been contaminated. In some respects, it's contaminated by government. In other respects, by private actors. Those private actors from the past won't step up without federal government leadership. So the Superfund effort is important, getting lead out of drinking water. That list goes on. When President Trump talks about clean air, land, and water, he understands that this is a priority of Americans. Regardless of whether you're conservative, moderate, liberal, Republican, Democrat, independent, we love the environment. We have a precious environment here in America. We want to protect it. We want to improve it. We want to both protect the environment and grow the economy. And that's why 3.5 weeks ago, we announced the largest deregulatory action in the history of the U.S. government. This isn't just the largest deregulatory action in EPA history. This is the largest deregulatory action by the federal government at all, across all agencies, and we're proud to lead it. And there's some on the left who want to go into this hysterical opposition where they claim that if we roll back these regulations that water is going to look like the 1960s again. We're looking at regulations that are almost entirely from the last year or two. So if you want to be accurate with your hysteria, show me water quality from a year ago or 2 years ago, or air quality or land. Let's be realistic. As we go through it, we're talking about trillions of dollars of regulatory relief that reduces the cost of living, that makes it easier to purchase a car, it makes it easier to heat your home, it will create jobs, including inside of the auto sector. This is what the American public voted for. Let's return to the basics. Let's be smart with the taxpayer dollar. Let's work with states with their state implementation plans and more. Let's get permits over the finish line so that investors from overseas can come back to the United States. EPA needs to get out of the way of growth. We need to both protect the environment and protect the economy.
I can tell. I think everybody who just listened to that can tell why you're the administrator of the EPA. The passion and the excitement that you bring to it, and the breadth of, again, what you've got to do with the president's working on is just stunning. And look, we're proud and excited of the work that you're taking. And thanks for taking the time to you know, share these thoughts on this podcast. Really do appreciate it.
Yeah, you got it. Take care, Jason.
Thank you. Lee Zeldin, just great, wonderful guy, working hard, beautiful family. He's got a wonderful wife two gorgeous, you know, daughters that are now moving out there. Empty nesters, the Zeldins. They're having a hard time believing it. We didn't have time to go through and talk about his story, but if you go back and look through the podcast that we've done in the past, you go through your search engine and look at the Lee Zeldin one. We did more of a bio, this is, I don't know, a year or two ago. And you can hear more about his kind of personal story, the miracle, I mean miracle, that are his daughters. And a little bit more about his life and experiences in the military and all that type of thing. He's a guy worth getting to know a little bit better, and I think you'd enjoy that podcast as well. We appreciate his service, and he is just kicking butt and doing a lot of good things. And I think we're going to hear a lot more about Lee Zeldin, what he's doing to clean up the mess that is the EPA, and a lot of the good and things that are happening there, because they do a lot of good along the way as well. I would appreciate it if you would give us a positive rating, give us a thumbs up, or whatever however you're listening to this, give us a like. We would appreciate that. You can also subscribe to the podcast. We put them out once a week. I also want to remind people you can listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. Come on back next week. We got a lot of good stuff coming up. I see the schedule. I see the guests that are coming up. You're going to love it. I'm Jason Chaffetz. Thanks for listening. This has been Jason in the House.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General, producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. President Trump is vowing not to cut Medicare or Medicaid programs.
At Friday's swearing-in of Dr. Mehmet Oz as the Medicare and Medicaid Administrator, the president made this promise about those government health care programs.
Just as I promised, there will be no cuts. We're not going to have any cuts. We're going to have only help.
Despite those assurances, a dozen House Republicans have sent a letter to GOP leaders warning they will not sign the upcoming budget and tax cuts bill if Medicaid is sharply reduced. Ken Lormond, Washington.
Iran and the U.S. plan to meet over Tehran's rapidly advancing nuclear program again this week after both sides said they did make some progress in the most recent round of talks that took place in Rome. One U.S. official confirmed that Special Envoy Steve Witkoff and Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi did meet face-to-face at that time. A major energy project getting underway in the Great Lakes region.
The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers will fast-track permits to build a protective tunnel around an aging on-bridge oil pipeline that runs under a channel connecting two Great Lakes. The move comes after President Donald Trump issued an executive order in January mandating that federal agencies identify energy projects that need expedited emergency permits. The Corps designated the tunnel project as an emergency under the order. Corps officials say they'd initially planned to make a permitting decision early next year. I'm Haya Panjwani.
Thousands of people flocked to Lexington, Massachusetts Saturday to witness a reenactment of how the American Revolution began 250 years ago, the battles of Lexington and Concord. Just after dawn on that fateful morning, militiamen, muskets in hand, took on a much larger contingent of British regulars, and the rest, as they say, is history. More on these stories at townhall.com.
They told us nothing but lies.
These timeshare thieves out there are terrible.
They bullied us.
It was a nightmare. We felt stuck.
Our timeshare is all a scam.
They stole from us. They were thieves.
I was completely taken advantage of.
Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, founder and CEO of Wesley Financial Group, and I know the tough spot you're in. Are you asking yourself, why did I buy that timeshare? I'll tell you why, because that presentation wasn't a normal sales pitch. It was a show to convince you that timeshare is a great investment. They told you it was available today and today only. They said you're foolish if you don't buy, and unfortunately, you believed them. We get over 3,000 complaints a week from folks just like you that were misled into buying a timeshare. Give us a call. I guarantee if we take you as a client, we will cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call now for your free information kit. 800-989-1771. 800-989-1771. 800-989-1771.
Former Congressman Chris Stewart is urging the U.S. to find new sources of rare earth minerals since because of a budding trade war with China, supplies nearly 70 to 90% of U.S. imports.
I think you have to realize, and a lot of people do, that, you know, chip manufacturing shuts down, automobile manufacturing shuts down, missile technology, drone technology, very broadly, our entire national security industrial base is dependent on these critical minerals.
Stewart is urging the U.S. to forge new relationships with Africa to find those minerals that are needed. He spoke with the Salem Radio Network. U.S. Vice President J.D. Vance has met briefly with Pope Francis on this Easter Sunday as the pontiff recovers from double pneumonia. Vance's motorcade entered Vatican City through a side gate and parked near Francis's hotel residence while Easter Mass is being celebrated in St. Peter's Square. News and analysis at townhall.com. The image of a colossal squid has been captured on camera for the first time in the deep sea by an international team of researchers steering a remotely operating submersible. The sighting was announced by the Schmidt Ocean Institute.
The first live footage of a small colossal squid in the deep sea at home in its natural environment. And although this was not the main goal of their mission, it is the first confirmed live footage of this animal in the Antarctic deep sea.
Researcher Kat Bolstead, the international finding happened about 2,000 feet below in the South Atlantic Ocean. Today is Sunday, April the 20th, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including actor George Takei. That's right, Mr. Sulu is 88 years old. College Football Hall of Famer Steve Spurrier is 80. Actress Jessica Lange turned 76 today, and actor Andy Serkis, that's right, Gollum from Lord of the Rings, is 61 today. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
The Fred Bear Show.
America's got to be in the lead if you want to deal with these threats. We're going to lead.
The morning is over. The Shiva is done. And if you're a conservative, you should be optimistic.
You know, my main priority right now is making sure that it delivers for the American people.
We have to make our country great again, and I will do that.
I think the president gets criticized by people all the time for the stuff he says, by people who ignore what he does.
Now, Fred Bear's All-Star Panel.
The Trump administration is receiving pushback from Democrats for the deportation of Kilmar Abrego Garcia, an illegal immigrant who was living in Maryland. President Bukele of El Salvador has refused to repatriate Garcia, calling the request, quote, ridiculous. President Trump has argued that the Supreme Court's 9-0 decision supported the deportation, while critics, like Senator Chris Van Hollen from Maryland, disagree. Meanwhile, NVIDIA has agreed to invest $500 billion in the United States over the next 4 years, marking a major win for the Trump economic agenda and the AI race against China. For a conversation on this and more, we bring in our panel. Fox News senior congressional correspondent Chad Pergram. Washington Bureau Chief of is really taking up a lot of oxygen in Washington, and you wonder how it's going to work out.
It's taking up more and more every hour. It's gotten to be a really, really, I think there's a couple of things to remember. The administration simply has not made a good case that Garcia was a member of MS-13, the gang that they say he's a member of. I think there actually is a good case. I've been looking through the court papers, but they haven't made it. But the bigger issue here is the original immigration judge's ruling on this case, and the judge said he's a member of MS-13. The ruling said that Garcia could be deported anywhere in the world except El Salvador. So what does the administration do? It deports him to El Salvador. Okay, he's there now. And it seems one way to actually solve the problem is for the United States to find another country that would imprison Garcia and then have him moved. And I don't think there would be anything at that point that crosses the due process that Garcia received here in the United States.
You know, Susan, the
actual wording is the Supreme Court said that the administration must facilitate the return of Garcia. It does not say it must actually do it. Essentially, he is in the custody of El Salvador. The administration is arguing that the Supreme Court and justices overall don't have purview over foreign policy. But the interesting part is, if President Trump asked the El Salvador president to have this guy come back to the U.S., if he asked, it's hard to believe that he would say no, considering the relationship we saw in the Oval Office.
Yeah, no kidding. If the president asked, the president of El Salvador would send it back to the United States or do whatever it was Trump wanted. And, of course, it is true that the Supreme Court pulled back from the lower court's decision on what exactly the administration was obliged to do. But there are no signs that the Trump administration is doing anything to facilitate his release from the prison in El Salvador. And I think this is hurtling toward what all the pundits will call a constitutional crisis, and may well be one. What is their obligation to faithfully follow what the court said they needed to do?
It's pretty amazing, Chad. How is it being digested up on Capitol Hill?
Well, one thing that kind of surprised us today is that Chuck Grassley, the Republican senator from Iowa, was holding a town hall meeting that seemed very, you know, Iowa-friendly at first, and they were talking about regular policy, and then this issue came up. And it kind of melted down, where you had constituents of Grassley yelling at him, pretty harsh language there. And basically somebody saying at one point it's time to tear the Statue of Liberty down. I thought that was remarkable. You have Chris Van Hollen, the Democratic senator from Maryland, because there were connections with the subject here to Maryland, saying, you know, maybe we should consider in the appropriations process, which they're starting to work on right now, withholding money from El Salvador. And you had Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic leader in the House of Representatives, saying it's time for the Supreme Court to act on this, and maybe even suggesting that the Supreme Court should hold the Trump administration in contempt, which would be a rather remarkable point there. I mean, again, this is that constitutional crisis issue that some people are alluding to, and some people suggested that at the town hall meeting with Senator Grassley. The other thing I think that's notable about the president of El Salvador in that meeting, we've seen several of these over the past few months since the big blow-up toward late February with President Volodymyr Zelensky of Ukraine. And you could see where you have somebody from a small country, a country that's dependent and contingent in some ways on things going on with the United States. And, you're there in the Oval Office, the center of power, and you don't want to disrupt things and have things go as far south as they did with Zelensky back in the winter.
Byron, on the issue of immigration, broadly, the administration is in a great place. If you look at all the polls, there are people very happy that it's down to 200 plus encounters a day at the southern border, as opposed to 4,400 a day. On this issue, it seems like politically they are welcoming this fight. They are welcoming Democrats saying they're going to go get this illegal immigrant, who they say is a member of MS-13, out of El Salvador. They're welcoming Senator Van Hollen to go to El Salvador and make the case at the jail. They're welcoming that because they think that middle America, I guess, says, why do we want this guy back in, and why are we fighting this fight?
They are welcoming it. And I would say on whether the administration is actually in violation of something that the Supreme Court said, you brought up what the Supreme Court said about the use of the word facilitate. And there was a big debate about what facilitate meant. But the rest of that sentence was the lower court required the government to facilitate Garcia's release from custody in El Salvador. Okay, not to bring him back to the United States, but to release him from custody in El Salvador. Now, that bigger question you were talking about Trump and immigration, if you look at the poll just before Election Day, voters made it their number two, maybe number one, but certainly number two or three issue, the most important thing they were voting for. And Trump solved it in his first month in office, which actually supported what he said in his address to the joint session of Congress, which was, remember all those people who were saying we needed to pass some big bill, a big bipartisan bill to solve the border problem. All we really needed was a new president. And Trump has proved that. On the other hand, people have kind of given him credit for that and moved on. Mm-hmm. And that's not really, he's not really getting a lot of credit for that right now.
Yeah. The deportations continue apace, Susan, this Maryland case aside.
Yeah, well, I think this is an argument that White House is delighted to have, because as you say, the support illegal immigration has been the animating issue for Donald Trump politically since 2015. It is the most reliable issue he has, especially now that the economy is up and down. Immigration is something on which he can point to having results. And I think in polling and elsewhere, you see that Americans tend to agree with him. I think the White House sees this as a trap that Democrats are about to fall in.
Chad, meantime, there is concern, especially in Republican ranks, as they get ready to head towards the midterms, as hard as it is to believe that we're heading towards another election in a year, that there is concern that the tariff situation is going to affect the economy dramatically and may put some political futures in jeopardy.
You know, I think that some of the members, especially on the Republican side of the aisle, are glad that Congress is not in session for the next week and a half here because they don't have to answer questions about that. Many Republicans were willing to kind of stand behind the president and give him deference, but they're really getting an earful from some of their constituents back home this week. I just talked to somebody, who had a toy manufacturer back home and talked about how the tariffs were going to impact that that industry. You know, Tim Kaine, the Democratic senator from Virginia, talked about a pie maker in Northern Virginia, and you don't think about tariffs and pies, but he said all the tin that comes in the pies comes from Canada. So you get these little things. At some point, some of those small businesses might start to have an impact. And again, I thought this was one of the most remarkable undercovered things on Capitol Hill toward the end of last week when they were in session. The House was trying to, you know, do several different bills, the SAVE Act, also, you know, rein in some of these federal judges with whom the administration didn't think were aligned with their jurisdiction, and also then pass the framework, the Senate framework for the tax cut and spending reduction bill, which was the big one. Well, built into what they call the rule, which is what you have to approve first. You have to approve the rule so you can actually get to the bill, was a provision that banned the House in two different instances from even considering dealing with the tariffs in one case through the end of the year and the other through September 30th. And so this is where you've had some members say, wait a minute, especially on the Democratic side of the aisle. That tells you a lot right there. And I wonder if there might be some thought that they want to at least have the ability to come back and try to undo that at some point if they get enough of an earful back home.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up. Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
I had the worst dream last night. You were in a car crash and the kids and I were on our own. We had to move out of the house because I couldn't afford it anymore.
That's awful, huh?
My brother got life insurance from Ethos and it only took 10 minutes. And he got $2 million in coverage for around $2 a day. It's all online. No medical exam. He just answered a few health questions right from his house.
Ethos, here we come.
Visit ethos.com/news. That's ethos.com/news.
Sample rate is a 10-year term life policy for 35-year-old healthy, non-smoking male. Billed monthly.
Seems everything costs more these days. Gas, groceries, and when's the last time you checked your wireless bill? When it comes to Big Wireless, if you're staying, you may be overpaying. Switch to Consumer Cellular and get your second month free for a limited time. You'll get the same fast, reliable nationwide coverage without the Big Wireless bill. Plans start at just $20 a month. Here's Veronica and Jackie, real customers.
I didn't know that I could get something for a lot less money that was actually better than who I was with before.
Anytime anybody complains about their cell phone bill, we say, you've got to check out Consumer Cellular.
And now for a limited time, new customers can get their second month free when they use promo code SECONDFREE. Just call, click, or bring us your bill and see how much you can save. Because when it comes to Big Wireless, if you're staying, you may be overpaying. Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit a store near you, or consumercellular.com and use code SECONDFREE to get a free second month. Real people paid to share their opinions in this ad. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
This is Health Call for Health.
Many of us try to follow a heart-healthy diet, but keep in mind there are also foods that enhance eye health. Specialists say a low-fat diet with lots of fruits and vegetables, lean meats, seafood, and plenty of water is especially beneficial to vision. The foods include salmon, which is high in the two types of omega-3 fatty acids that are essential for the function of the retina. Red peppers, which have the highest concentration of vitamin C per calorie among vegetables. Vitamin C is good for the blood vessels in your eyes. Research suggests it could lower your risk of developing cataracts. Eggs have zinc, which works with the pigments found in egg yolk to block harmful blue light from damaging the retinas. And broccoli has antioxidants, which also help to protect the retinas. The American Optometric Association suggests getting an eye exam yearly, even if your vision seems fine, to detect any possible conditions early on. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House call for health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Healthcare is increasingly expensive, but there are ways to save on health insurance. Health insurance marketplaces, including healthcare.gov and ehealth.com, offer websites where you can compare health insurance plans and pricing. Natasha Cantrell, a director for eHealth, says when checking out plans, don't focus solely on monthly premiums. She says that's the biggest mistake people make and overlook the out-of-pocket costs that come into play when you receive medical care. Plans with lower monthly premiums tend to come with higher annual deductibles, co-pays, or co-insurance. To keep your cost in check, it's important to stay in your health insurance company's provider network. And for any new health insurance plan you're considering, make sure it covers a doctor or hospital or pharmacy in your area that you want to continue using. And also note that if you do have out-of-pocket costs for a hospital or doctor's visit that you think are excessive, try to negotiate your bill. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind,
1962. Roger, the clock is operating. We're underway. A little bumpy along about here. Roger, 0G, and I feel fine. Capsule is turning around. Oh, that view is tremendous.
Let me ask you one simple question. Do you, Ambassador Zorin, deny that the USSR has placed and is placing medium and intermediate range missiles and sites in Cuba? Yes or no? Don't wait for the translation. Yes or no?
I am not in an American courtroom, sir, and therefore I do not wish to answer a question that is put to me in the fashion in which prosecutor does. In due course, sir, you will have your reply.
I'm prepared to wait for my answer until hell freezes over, if that's your decision.
You don't have Nixon to kick around anymore.
News as it happens. News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk.
Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor Bret Baier.
Meantime, Secretary Bessent is in Argentina, and there is an effort by that country, Byron, to try to be the first of the deals inked to make a deal with the administration. He said the other day the first may be the best, but they have 130 countries that have reached out in some way, shape, or form. Today, the White House press secretary is saying there are 15, you know, pieces of paper on specific deals that that are being presented. So you wonder whether these deals are going to go through, number one, and number two, whether the markets bake them in to how they receive the tariff news.
Well, there needs to be a first one, and then there need to be many. And I think the Trump administration should publicize each of these deals as they happen. And, you know, this didn't start cold on Liberation Day on April 2nd. Kevin Hassett of the White House was explaining to Larry Kudlow this week that these talks have been going on since January 20th and sometimes cases before that. So they've been going on for quite a while. But the White House needs to show that it is actually making progress and making trade agreements with a lot of countries, because I think the effect of that would be, one, to settle things down a bit, and two, sharpen the focus on the conflict with China and make this more and more about China and all the rotten things it does in international trade, therefore making what Trump is doing seem a lot smarter and with greater, broader political support.
While there is a political danger, Susan, in people looking at their 401ks and getting depressed, there is also, it seems, a political upside with union workers that the Trump administration is acknowledging, that they feel like they've been screwed for a long time overseas.
Well, this is one of the reasons that Trump has embraced tariffs for so long. It's a grievance against what elites have embraced, which is global trade. A lot of people who depended on the manufacturing jobs that no longer exist in this country, we're sorry to see them go away along with their middle class wages. So I'm not surprised it's popular with them, although you do need the economy to be on a somewhat even keel if you're president. And you need particularly inflation not to spike up. And that is one of the risks from this tariff regime that the president's imposed, even if he strikes 130 deals with individual countries.
Yeah. I'm hearing that, Treasury Secretary Bessent is ascendant in his influence, and perhaps Peter Navarro and Howard Lutnick are descendant. In other words, taking a little bit less. We may see them less than we have, I'm hearing, but we'll see if that holds true. Chad, meantime, you've got what is happening on Capitol Hill is this push for the growth agenda and the tax cut bill, deregulation, and where does that stand as of tonight?
Well, Republicans are going to make the case, especially with the market shocks over the past week or two here, that they have to get that bill done because that will calm the markets. Number two, they renew these tax cuts, which is something that's very important to Republicans, talking about just the staggering tax increases that people would face, you know, a single parent with two children, family of four with two children, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of $4,200 in taxes. This goes back to what they'd be paying in 2017, and so that's another shock to the system if that were to go up. So Republicans are going to be making that case. But this is where you've also had a little bit of rattling around the past couple of days of some Republicans suggesting that maybe so they can inoculate themselves from this argument from the left and Democratic leaders that this bill is just tax cuts for the wealthy to do other things, get into entitlements and Social Security and so on and so forth. It's been kind of trial balloon floated behind the scenes that maybe they would try to tax the wealthy. Maybe they would try to, you know, raise the corporate rate. That's something that Caroline Leavitt, the White House press secretary, said the president hasn't made up his mind on that just yet. And so if they were to do that, though, even though House Speaker Mike Johnson and the majority leader in the House, Steve Scalise, said, no, we don't want to do that. Johnson, in fact, said, you know, we're the Republican Party. We're for cutting taxes for everybody. It would solve a couple of problems. Number one, inoculate them from these attacks from the Democrats and say, look, we're actually helping out the middle class and lower groups here. Number two, it helps broaden the coalition and at least solidify the coalition that President Trump has put together, because it's just not Republicans helping the quote wealthy or corporations. They have these people who own small businesses and so on suddenly being, you know, helped and getting a lot of benefit from the renewal of these tax cuts. And number three, just the idea that it might, you know, actually stimulate the economy. So there's three or four things going on there that they could achieve if they're able to get this done. And this is why Mike Johnson wants to have that done by Memorial Day. That is very ambitious. It is still going to be a challenge. I would bet that we're here in June and July, but the deadline is December. If they get later in the year into the fall, then the way they have to calculate those taxes, you know, this is tax day. Now, some of those things, that paperwork that's going to be going in, people are going to see a tax increase, even if it's not done before the tax cuts expire at the end of the year, because they have to calibrate for that for 2026. So that's why there is a lot of push to get this done as soon as possible on Capitol Hill, and simultaneously maybe undercut the Democrats on that very argument.
Yeah. And Byron, it's all about the math as far as how much savings you could cut off. You know, the conservatives were very upset that the Senate bill only had $4 billion in cuts, and they need to get to $1 trillion. So you add in what Doge is supposedly going to put in there, you maybe trim around the edges, but you're not going to get to enough to have a permanent tax cut and make the Trump tax cuts of 2017 permanent. They say, but if they let those go expire, obviously it's a major tax increase on everyone, but they want to make it permanent. So that's a massive, massive bill.
Yeah, I think at the cabinet meeting the other day, Elon Musk said they were looking at maybe $150 billion in savings, and Democrats are going to question whether it's even that much, but it's not anywhere close to $1 trillion. I did want to say one thing. This issue of Trump and taxing the rich is really kind of an interesting one. He made some noises about that back in the 2016 campaign, so much so that some people wondered whether this was going to be another area in which Trump blew up Republican orthodoxy. But he gets into office and they pass a very Paul Ryan sort of traditional Republican tax cut bill, which does have tax cuts for everybody, but nothing that, you know, singles out the rich. Now he's making some noises about it again. I don't know if he just does that when he's in trouble or if he would really be okay with it. It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, but it would be this a huge turn for Republican orthodoxy. And, mm-hmm. and Chad knows more about this, but if you think there's a lot of rebels on Capitol Hill now, there would probably be a whole bunch if he were doing that.
Oh, yeah.
And Brett, if I can just make a quick point on that, you know, the one thing to watch for, Byron talks about these rebels on Capitol Hill. I'm going to give you two vocabulary terms to listen for as they try to write this bill over the next couple of weeks: current policy and current law. The idea that Republicans are trying to write this bill under what they call current policy, it ignores, and it's just another way of accounting for things here, it ignores some of the potential deficit increases that are in here. In other words, they can say on this sheet of paper, oh, no, this doesn't raise the deficit or only does it by so much, and that, you know, works in the Senate budget rules, but in reality it does. It's kind of like if I told you there was a baseball player who hit 50 home runs, you would say, oh, great, and then you find out that he did it in single A, you would look at it a little bit differently. He didn't do it in the big, so that's kind of what's going on.
Historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Democratic nominee and 42nd President of the United States, Bill Clinton, addressed the Democratic Convention in 1992 at Madison Square Garden in New York City.
Let it be our cause that we give this child a country that is coming together, not coming apart. A country of boundless hopes and endless dreams. A country that once again lifts its people and inspires the world. Let that be our cause, our commitment, and our new covenant. My fellow Americans, I end tonight where it all began for me. I still believe in a place called hope. God bless you, and God bless America.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Fallon, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right, live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. And I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week with the smartest thinkers out there about the issues Americans face and where we are going as a nation. This show will feature deep dive interviews with newsmakers and some of your favorite Fox News analysts. I hope you'll join me as we dive into the fray. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to FoxNewsPodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts. From around the world,
Trey Yingst, joining us from Tel Aviv, Israel.
To Washington,
I'm Mike Emanuel.
To your own backyard, if a story impacts you or your wallet, we're on it. It's the Fox News Rundown. We give every story the deeper look it deserves with must-listen interviews and smart analysis from the voices you can trust. Start your day with the Fox News Rundown. Listen and follow now at FoxNewsRundown.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey, this is Trey Gowdy, host of the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Every Tuesday, you'll hear what's on my mind. Plus, every Thursday, there's a special bonus episode where we answer the questions that are on your mind. Make sure to spend your Tuesdays and Thursdays with Trey. Subscribe now at FoxNewsPodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Hope to see you.
America is listening to Fox News.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1995. Mike Tyson.
In the last 3 years, I had the chance to reflect on my life and develop my mind, and I will continue my journey to making myself a better person.
Frustrating for firefighters because there are some areas where we're reaching and touching people, but we just can't get to them.
The bombing in Oklahoma City was an attack on innocent children and defenseless citizens. It was an act of cowardice, and it was evil.
I did not, nor to my knowledge, did anyone else in the White House destroy, mishandle, or misappropriate any document in Vincent Foster's office.
The White House has contended that the Clintons were passive investors in Whitewater. The facts are otherwise.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
News as it happens then,
news as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A man from Michigan who took the time to return a wallet and made someone's day makes today's Dean's List. Donnie Hansen noticed something on the road and knew it was important. He looked inside the billfold and not only found $100 cash, cards, and ID, but he found the address and decided to return the wallet himself. The person wasn't home, so he left it carefully tucked behind the porch door. Michelle Johnson was surprised when she saw her home security footage and soon realized it was a stranger returning her son's wallet. When she got home, everything was intact, including the $100, her son's hard-earned tip money. Donnie says he lost his wallet before, but no one ever returned it, so he was happy to do this for someone else. Michelle says she almost cried seeing Donnie at her door doing something good for her family. She says you might not realize what something small does for someone else, but even those smallest acts of kindness go a long way. Janice Dean, Fox News.
The Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor Bret Baier.
El Salvador recognizes that these gang members are members of a terrorist organization, which is exactly how President Trump is approaching MS-13 and TDA as well.
That's Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem on her recent trip. She joins us now. Thank you for having us at the department.
Absolutely. Thank you for being here today.
First, I want to ask you about President Trump. He said the attacks on Teslas. Do you see that as domestic terrorism?
I do, and it's an act of violence, and it has ramifications on community members and at times has risked people's lives. I do see that as an act of domestic terrorism, and we certainly have a president who's willing to use his full authorities to go after people that choose to destroy people and communities and businesses in the way that people have.
I want to talk to you about your trip, El Salvador, Colombia, Mexico. What did you take away from that?
Well, my task as Homeland Security Secretary is to secure the homeland of the United States of America. So I have jurisdiction over every person that comes in and out of this country, every product that comes in and out of this country, and everything that transpires over the Internet. Talking to these presidents of these three countries was very productive. I had a conversation with the president of El Salvador about the TDA members that he accepted and took into his CECOP prison. We toured that prison, which I'm sure you are well aware of.
And those some the of the most striking there. Images from that trip,
yeah.
Of you touring that prison. Just the image alone, was that sending a message?
Yes, people need to see that image. They need to see that the United States is going to use every tool that we have to make our communities safer. That is a consequence of someone who is a terrorist. The president has declared Tren de Aragua and MS-13 as terrorist organizations, and the president of El Salvador has as well. The only people allowed in that prison are terrorists. And to tour that and to look at that was giving the American people the transparency that they want out of their government. They were able to see exactly where we're sending these people who have murdered and raped Americans, that have decimated communities, and there's going to be consequences for individuals who continue to do that. My conversation with that president was, will you take more of these terrorists? And he said, absolutely, we will. We we will take the worst of the worst and make sure that they're facing consequences for what they've done to your country.
I think there's a lot of people who look at this, Madam Secretary, and say, yes, get the bad guys out. Mm-hmm. But they want to make sure that the people that are rounded up and taken out are really those guys. There are some allegations from activists, of media, and immigration attorneys that a few of the people you sent to El Salvador via the Alien Enemies Act are not members of criminal gangs, or that they might not be. Do you see those as credible at all? And if you found out, would you work to take them out of El Salvador?
I trust our intelligence agencies and the intelligence individuals that are within the Department of Homeland Security, that the individuals who are there are members and a part of this organization and have worked with them. And while we were there at that prison, we not only talked about how to identify these members of these terrorist organizations, but what they did, their actions they took, the case files we built on them, and how we verified that those individuals should be there in that prison.
So you're pretty confident.
Continue to do that. I am. I am very confident in the fact that those individuals that are there should be there, and that by belonging to these organizations, they were choosing to be on the side that wanted to destroy the United States of America.
Immigration enforcement is one of the biggest things that is a positive for President Trump right now, yet Democratic lawmakers talk about it a lot. Take a listen.
Any immigrant can be accused of association with gangs and cartels, and they will be deported without due process of law.
There's not much to this president's agenda. It's tax breaks for the rich and rounding up immigrants. That's the whole program.
You have to have due process. What if you got the wrong person? That is the whole point of all of this.
So what do you say to those Democrats, and what's happening now with Tom Holman and what you're seeing on the border?
I would say those Democrats are doing exactly what they've done for years. They're trying to use fear to control people. They're using fear to promote their agenda and lying about what the situation is really here on the ground. We are doing due diligence to make sure that we're going after these criminals that have perpetuated violence on American citizens, and we're removing them from our country. Our president has told us clearly he's prioritizing these criminals and the worst of the worst, those with final removal orders, and that we're making sure that not only did we secure our border, but that we're making sure we don't let those people back into this country. We have deported over 120 people that are on the known terrorist watch list out of this country, over 800 TDA members, in over 100,000 different arrests have been made of criminals that are out of this country. Every single family that can identify with Laken Riley's family, Jocelyn Nungery's family, people who were devastated by these criminals are thankful that they're gone, and President Trump is on the right side of history.
Do you think the Mexican president, you talked to her, is doing enough to defeat the cartels down there?
You know, we talked extensively about that. I gave her some options of more she could do. She's participated a lot on our southern border, but we want her to secure her southern border with Guatemala. We want her to share some more information with us. Right now, we don't scan every single shipment that comes into this country over air freight. We have some information sharing that could happen on criminal background checks. So I gave her a list of things that President Trump would be very happy to see, and she was remarkable. It was supposed to be a half-hour meeting. We met for almost 2 hours, very productive. She did sign some of those agreements with us, and I asked her specifically to share biometric information with us, and she's willing to discuss that, even though that in her country would be a little bit controversial. But she's putting a good faith effort. But President Trump is clear. He doesn't want people to keep talking. He wants to see action. And she has an opportunity to do some things that I will give a report to the president on and see if we can deal with the tariff situation that may be facing her people.
Madam Secretary, you talk about the terrorists watch list and the people rounded up. We are, you know, removed from 9/11, but the terrorist threat is still there. What do you tell people about what you see every day, knowing what you know, about the terrorist threat facing this country?
That it's very real. It could happen today. It could happen tomorrow. We have people in this country that would do 9/11 all over again if given the opportunity. And we have to have a strong president that stays dedicated towards securing not just the interior of our country, but the exterior, and using every tool that he has to fix what Joe Biden broke. Joe Biden purposely broke this country and our democracy and put us at grave risk. So I'm so thankful that we have a president that recognizes the threats that we have and lets me do my job to follow through on what task he gave me.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
Seems everything costs more these days. Gas, groceries, and when's the last time you checked your wireless bill? When it comes to Big Wireless, if you're staying, you may be overpaying. Switch to Consumer Cellular and get your second month free for a limited time. You'll get the same fast, reliable nationwide coverage without the Big Wireless bill. Plans start at just $20 a month. Here's Veronica and Jackie, real customers.
I didn't know that I could get something for a lot less money that was actually better than who I was with before.
Anytime anybody complains about their cell phone bill, we say, you've got to check out Consumer Cellular.
And now for a limited time, new customers can get their second month free when they use promo code SECONDFREE. Just call, click, or bring us your bill and see how much you can save. Because when it comes to Big Wireless, if you're staying, you may be overpaying. Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit a store near you, or consumercellular.com and use code SECONDFREE to get a free second month. Real people paid to share their opinions in this ad. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
I had the worst dream last night. You were in a car crash and the kids and I were on our own. We had to move out of the house because I couldn't afford it anymore.
That's awful, hon.
My brother got life insurance from Ethos and it only took 10 minutes. And he got $2 million in coverage for around $2 a day. It's all online. No medical exam. He just answered a few health questions right from his house.
Ethos, here we come.
Visit ethos.com/news. That's ethos.com/news.
Sample rate is a 10-year term life policy for 35-year-old healthy, non-smoking male. Billed monthly.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Fallon, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right, live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Fallon, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right, live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now.
The Brett Baer Show with Fox News chief political anchor Brett Baer.
Here peacefully today to deliver a message. We came to deliver a letter to him, but they wouldn't let us do it. They said he was too busy. And I said, I'm prepared to stay here until hell freezes over.
Congresswoman Maxine Waters outside the Housing and Urban Development building here, joining us tonight to talk about the efforts to repair HUD headquarters and the Trump administration's agenda for this department. Secretary of HUD, Scott Turner. Mr. Secretary, thanks for the time.
Yes, sir, Brett. Great to be with you.
You know, that only happened a few days, that big protest outside, and they brought a letter, whatever transpired with all of that.
Well, you know, when I look at that, I'm like, you know, I was upstairs in a meeting, actually meeting with stakeholders to carry out the job for the American people while the Congress lady and others were storming the HUD building. We dealt with it the way we wanted to, the way we should have, appropriately and kindly, but I was upstairs working for the American people.
How do you describe HUD to folks, like the purpose of your job, the purpose of this agency?
You know, HUD is a unique place, and I love serving here at HUD. We serve the most vulnerable people of our nation as it pertains to housing, as it pertains to homelessness, as it pertains to disaster recovery. And HUD is a mission-minded place. It's not political. You think about housing. Housing doesn't have a party. It's not Republican. It's not Democrat. Housing impacts every American individual and family. And so when people think about HUD, think about service and mission and meeting people where they are.
You know, the expenditure, the money coming in, the funding went up some 14% year over year, 23-24, and yet homelessness went up as well.
You're exactly right. You know, HUD over the last several years has really failed at its most basic mission. You think about record funding, but yet homelessness went up 18% in 1 year. 770,000 individuals, including families, on the streets, homeless on one single night in January of last year. Well, that's unacceptable. When you have record funding, you ought to be able to not only meet your mission, but exceed the mission that you've been called to.
So what are your priorities here?
My priorities, number one, Brett, is to carry out the mission to serve the people that we've been called to serve, to deregulate, to bring down regulations so that we can build more affordable housing. We have an affordable housing crisis in our country. We have a homelessness crisis in our country. Disaster, you think about what just happened in the Southeast, the fires in L.A., the floods in Asheville, North Carolina, which I just came back from, to get resources out the door to help families to rebuild and businesses to rebuild and individuals to get back to their home. And so those are our top priorities here, deregulation and also expanding opportunity zones, which we'll talk about.
Yeah, and I do want to talk about opportunity zones, but I also want to talk about this place.
Yes.
This headquarters building, this is housing and urban development. And everybody I talked to, not aside from you, aside from your folks, they said, I'm sorry for the building. You know, it's just not good.
Yes, sir.
And you look around, there's some serious problems here where tens of millions of dollars have been pumped in for decades. So what are you going to do?
Well, it's a culture issue. It's a stewardship issue. And you've seen, you and I walked around the building, and you're exactly right. You know, HUD is known as the ugliest building in D.C., which is not a mantra I like. The culture, just a complacency, if you will. HUD serves the most vulnerable in our country. But over the last few years, or even over the last decade, this has kind of settled in that mediocrity is okay. And you know what, Brett? Mediocrity to me is not good. We're striving for excellence. So we want to create an environment here, including our building, where people want to be proud of where they come to work and carry out the mission and the assignment that we have. And so we're working on this building. It's a stewardship issue. We're spending taxpayer dollars. And so I think we can be very efficient in a different place.
In a different place, moving everybody out.
Yes.
And that doesn't mean closing down HUD.
No, sir. And so we're working closely with GSA. Our mission is our mission. We're focused on the main thing here at HUD, but what it does mean is to create a different paradigm, create a different culture. And when I was in the NFL, a lot of times guys, when they left one team and went to another, just that move alone reinvigorated that player when he went from one team to the next. Well, we're a team here at HUD, and we got to get better facilities.
And you're also dealing with change here.
Yes,
a lot of change in this administration. As you're speaking about football, you played in the NFL, you were offensive player, wide receiver, and then you went and played cornerback for a number of teams.
Yes, sir.
That change, you talk about it here in this administration.
Yeah, change is uncomfortable. And I think you see it a lot. You know, there's an outcry. in the media. They don't like the way that things are being done, but change, when things change and it brings an uncomfortable situation, growth happens. My senior year at the University of Illinois, I played offense all my life, Brett, as we talked about. And then my senior year, they switched me to defense. That was real uncomfortable, but it caused me to grow. It gave me an opportunity, and so that's what's happening in our country right now.
Here's the concern for Democrats, and here's the housing headlines. HUD choked funding to enforce fair housing laws. Legal aid groups may not survive. Cuts to housing nonprofits will spur discrimination, Democrats say. Maxine Waters, Elizabeth Warren, wrote a letter to you saying you previously voiced your commitment to uphold the Fair Housing Act during your Senate confirmation hearing, yet your actions in your first month on the job have directly contradicted that statement. What do you say to that concern about their writing of how they see what you're doing?
Well, it's unfortunate. You know, it's unfortunate that they would use discrimination as a tactic. Title VI of the Civil Rights Act, as it pertains to HUD, prohibits discrimination. At HUD, we will uphold the law. We are committed to upholding the Fair Housing Act. We actually are the ones that will come against any kind of illegal discrimination. It's not prohibited here. And so that's unfortunate that they would use that. But you know what? We're focused on our mission, Brett. We're obtaining the law. Our critical mission and our programs are being carried out every single day.
And DOGE is here.
And DOGE is here.
And what are they finding?
So we have a great relationship with DOGE here. DOGE is part of the HUD team. As I mentioned team before. And so we've been finding savings, $260 million in contract savings, and most recently $1.9 billion in misplaced funds.
Hold on a second. $1.9 billion.
Yes, sir.
That went someplace it wasn't supposed to go, or was being held someplace?
Yes, sir. It was held, so it accrued over several years, almost $2 billion that was actually supposed to be for administrative supportive services to carry out the programs at HUD, but it was not used. It was misplaced. And so what should happen that we should deobligate those funds, but the Biden administration just let them accrue. Once we found out, working with DOGE, that this $1.9 billion was there, we let the Treasury know these funds have been deobligated, send them back to the Treasury to use for expenditures for the American people.
You know, at the recent cabinet meeting, the president turned to you. Take a listen.
Lord God, we pray that we would lead with a righteous clarity. Father God, that as we serve the people of this country in every prospective agency, every job that we have, Father, we would humble ourselves before you, that we would lead in the manner that you called us to lead and to serve.
Your pastor.
Yes, sir.
Righteous certainty. What do you think about that? Your job now, this administration, and what this country is facing.
Well, you know, I thank the president that he realizes and understands the importance of prayer. He realizes the importance of being submitted to the Lord God Almighty and giving Jesus reference. And to be able to pray for our president, pray for the cabinet, and pray for our country is very humbling to me. Being in this job as the Secretary of HUD, I consider to be a servant leader. You know, when Christ came, he said, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. And when we talk as a team, I say, you know what, we are servants to the American people. We're mission-minded, we're laser-focused, and I believe that if we can lead in a righteous way and have righteous understanding and clarity and be and have this laser focus, that the way we serve, Brett, will be surgical. It'll be specific, no wasted time, no wasted resources, and I believe that the American people deserve that.
Finally, the opportunity zones, you were a part of that effort. Senator Tim Scott obviously kind of kicked it off with President Trump, but you want to expand that exponentially. You see success there.
Yeah, opportunity zones were very impactful. The time that we had the opportunity to lead the opportunity zones, there's 8,764 around our country. 1 million people were lifted out of poverty. Home values went up with rents not going up. People were able to build operating businesses, which created many jobs. People were also able to build a foundation and build new places to live. And so the expansion and the extension of opportunity zones is something I'm very passionate about. Working with Senator Tim Scott and other members of Congress and other agencies and the White House. And I believe with this affordable housing crisis that opportunity zones are a great platform and a great vehicle for us to to build affordable housing, build new operating businesses, to be a blessing to our country.
Mr. Secretary, we appreciate your time. This office is nice, but obviously we toured the building, and you talk about it a little bit more, but we'll walk around with you a little bit.
All right. Thank you, Greg.
Thank you.
Seems everything costs more these days. Gas, groceries, and when's the last time you checked your wireless bill? When it comes to Big Wireless, if you're staying, you may be overpaying. Switch to Consumer Cellular and get your second month free for a limited time. You'll get the same fast, reliable nationwide coverage without the Big Wireless bill. Plans start at just $20 a month. Here's Veronica and Jackie, real customers.
I didn't know that I could get something for a lot less money that was actually better than who I was with before.
Anytime anybody complains about their cell phone bill, we say, you've got to check out Consumer Cellular.
And now for a limited time, new customers can get their second month free when they use promo code SECONDFREE. Just call, click, or bring us your bill and see how much you can save. Because when it comes to Big Wireless, if you're staying, you may be overpaying. Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit a store near you, or consumercellular.com and use code SECONDFREE to get a free second month. Real people pay to share their opinions, and this ad plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Reading, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.